Open your Bibles here this morning to the book of Proverbs as we continue our series through Proverbs. title of my message here this morning is, Brethren, Be Faithfully Proactive. Be Faithfully Proactive. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 12, Before destruction, the heart of the man is haughty, and before honor is humility. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it is folly and a shame unto him. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. Father, thank you for the golden nuggets in the book of Proverbs of how to do life, the distilled wisdom of God that we can have and help us to live a life that honors you. So, Father, I pray here this morning for the saints of God that we'd have ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. And I pray the Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us in all truth as the Spirit of truth. Lord, help me be a vessel that honors your Son, Jesus Christ, that honors the Word of God and brings glory to your name. So, Lord, bless us as your people. Feed us with your heavenly manna. We'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Larry King passed away last night, or yesterday rather, and I was thinking about something I heard some time ago about Larry King. he was on television, 25 years? How many of you ever watched Larry King? You heard him? You know who I'm talking about? And one time Barbara Walters interviewed him, okay? And she asked him this very direct and revealing question. She asked, Barbara Walters asked Larry King, what is your greatest fear? What is your greatest fear? And he immediately replied, death. That was his greatest fear, death. And, you know, he was at the, that occurred in 2005. That was when he's at the top of his career. But everything paled when he got to talk about death. And he went on to say, Larry King went on to say, because she asked, said, well, do you believe in God? And he said, not sure. He said, I'm an agnostic. He was born Jewish. He was a Jewish man. Actually had a Jewish name. They changed his name. His Jewish name didn't sound good on radio and television. So they gave him the name Larry King, but that's not his real name. He goes, I'm an agnostic. And he went on to say in in another time in his life, he said, my biggest fear is death because I don't think I'm going anywhere. And since I don't think that and I don't have a belief, that was his greatest fear. He didn't know what to think. He was married 8 times. Larry King was married 8 times. And he said, I don't know which marriage this was, but he said, I'm married to someone who has the belief, so she knows where she's going somewhere. You know, he interviewed many people in his life. Somebody estimated over 100,000 people interviewed in his career. That's a lot of people. But I wonder if he ever talked to God and interviewed Christ and the claims of Christ in his life. How can you live a life and be able to interview all these people but not even know where your own soul's going? What would it profit a man if he gains the whole world but what, loses his own soul? What profit does that do you? You know, when he worked for CNN, at the height, I think he made $7 million a year. But how much did he leave behind? Everything. What does it profit a man? He gains the whole world but loses his own soul. You know, that, you know, we need to be proactive in our life. Is death coming? For the rapture, for mankind, for the believer, you're either going to go out of this world by death or by the rapture. There's no other choices. For the believer, you could go up by the rapture. And when is that going to happen? Soon. How soon? Very soon. Very soon. You know, what does it mean to be proactive? In other words, you're thinking about, you're not just letting, see, there's three, somebody once said, like, there's just three kinds of people in the world. somebody that makes things happen. They're a go-getter, they're on it, they're all over it, they make things happen. And the other person is the person doesn't know what's happening. You ever met those? You know, they just don't know what's happening. You talk to them and it's just like, they don't know anything, you know? They just don't know what's happening. Third kind of person is the person that things happen to. Anybody been there? You ever had one of those days, everything goes wrong? You know, things happen to. But when it comes to death, you want to be proactive. You want to be on it. You don't want to let slip by you and ask everybody else's questions, but you don't ask your own self, where am I going to spend eternity? And search out the truth. It's not that the Bible has been found wanting. It's that it hasn't been tried. It hasn't been found lacking. It's just men haven't tried it. It's not that there's not an answer. There is an answer. But we need to seek God and be proactive. And when we come to the book of Proverbs here, God has told us all these different ways that we can be proactive in our eternal destiny, in our relationships with each other, in our relationship with God, in our relationship to our finances. Proverbs is helping us be proactive that we're on it. Because God wants us to understand life and to live life in such a way that honors Him. Well, as we pick up the flow of thought here in chapter 18, now a proactive person will look at their own life. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. It's proud. It's lifted up. Now, when King Nebuchadnezzar was lifted up with pride, what did God do to him? He brought him down so that he would realize that God rules in the kingdom of men, not him. So before destruction, a man is proud. He's lifted up. Look what I have done. Isaiah 14, if you read the account there about Lucifer, I will ascend up to north. I will sit in the circle there. You know, Lucifer was just saying all these things that he will do. And God says, no, you're being cut down. And for us as God's people, when we're proactive in life, when we're looking where life is going, we want to be faithful. We just don't let life pass us by. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, it's proud. Before honor is humility. Now, I have a question. There's different kinds of honor. Would you rather have the praise of God or the praise of men? If you had your choice, which do you want? Praise of God. What if men never praised you, but God did? What's worth more? God's praise. You know, it actually goes far. Scripture says, woe be to you if all men speak what of you? Well of you. If you've got everybody patting you on the back, you're not doing something right as a Christian. Because you're not letting your light so shine before the world. Because men love darkness rather than light. And we as God's people, we need to, if we want to have honor from God. Now, if you want worldly honor, well, you can have that. You can have the applause of men. But guess what? It's only momentary. And you'll be their idol one week, and the next week you'll be a nobody in their eyes. But you get the praise of God. If that honor is what you seek after, that's going to be eternal. That's going to be an honor that God can give to you, and no man can take it away from you. If God gives that to you, no man can take that away from you. So if we want to be proactive in our life, if we're going to be on life, if we're going to not be the one that things happen to or be the one that doesn't know what's happening, we want to be the one that makes things happen, we're going to be searching our own heart, how we feel about things. Now, pride and humility can you be proud about being humble? Do you see how it just kind of like gets a little, you know, you have to be careful because you can be so humble and all of a sudden God blesses you in a certain way and you stand back and say, whoa, look what I did here today. And God says, stop, you didn't do that. I did it through you. And you've got to be so careful. Guess what? That sinful nature will want to come up through the surface there. And if you're humble and you're walking with God and God blesses you, I saw this one time, I thought it was so good. This famous preacher, he got up to speak and everybody was clapping for him. And he just stepped back and went like this. What was he saying? It went to him, but what was he doing? Letting it bounce off and go that way. See, that's how you keep from getting proud. That if God's using you, then you deflect it back to God when people praise you. If people give you a compliment for something you've done for God, well, praise the Lord, you bless people. But then say, praise be to God, or God be the glory. You bounce it off of you and get it back to him. Because pride is a terrible thing, and we don't want that. We want to be proactive in our hearts. You know, David, he cried this out to God. Now, David was a man after God's own heart, but he said in one of his psalms, he says, Lord, don't let sin have dominion over me. Don't let presumptuous sins have dominion over me. Presumptuous sin is a high-handed sin. Something that's right up there in God's face. You know, he was praying that, but you know what he was doing? He was searching his heart. Because we can get so callous sometimes and hardened, we don't see things the way God does. And we don't want to be blinded. Because we can be so blinded. Now, here's the deceitful nature of sin. Tell me if this is true or false. If you laugh at sin long enough, sin does not seem so sinful. True or false? That is true. Because if you laugh at it long enough, it becomes part of you, and you don't push back from it. You know, men, if you're at a place and somebody around you starts telling a dirty joke, what do? Do you laugh with it when they get to the punchline, or you just like, don't laugh? I've been there. You know what I do? I don't laugh because I don't want to go there. And for us as God's people, we want to honor God, and that's a humble heart. Now, verse 13, he that answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and a shame unto him. How many of us have had children, and one children says, my brother did this to me, and you hear this, he did, why did he do it? And you go and talk to the other kid, and you find out what this one did to this one first, and then you have a better understanding. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Sometimes you've got to hear both sides of it. Now, how does verse 12 and verse 13 connect? He that answers a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and a shame unto him. Some people are so opinionated and so proud in their way to analyze things, they can form an opinion so quickly about a matter, and they've never investigated it thoroughly. They've never heard both sides of it. Is there always two sides to every story? You know, Kurt, I'm going to pick on you here for a moment. Kurt used to be a state trooper. Do state trooper ever get a phone call from saying, I got a problem here? You know, they get a call. Kurt goes to the house. Kurt told me this one time. And he said, some guy told him what his neighbor did. Da-da-da-da-da. And Kurt said, he did that to you? Well, I want to go. And he go over to his neighbor's house. And then he gets the real story, what this neighbor did to this neighbor first. And Kurt says, that's not what I thought, you know. And all of a sudden, it totally flipped. What you want to do is don't make a decision before you've heard both sides of the story. Because that's wisdom. But if you're so proud and you think you got all the answers and, oh, I'm taking control here, you better investigate a matter fully. To be proactive, you're watching your heart, but then you're watching how others react around you, and you're asking wisely. You hear a matter. You understand it. You've investigated. You've thought through it. He that answereth a matter before he hears it, it is a folly and a shame to him. Am I the only one that's ever... You make a decision about something you've heard, and you realize your decision was wrong. You ever done that? Because you didn't have the whole answer. I've done that. And I've learned in life, you've got to make sure you understand before you pass judgment on a situation. You've got to be proactively involved and make the effort to investigate it before you make an opinion or pass judgment on it. Verse 14, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. The spirit of a man. When you're a proactive Christian, your spirit's important to you. Now, there's a saying in the computer world, garbage in, garbage out. Okay? Now, what are you putting into your spirit? If you put things into your spirit that aren't good for your spirit, where is your spirit going to go? You've got to be proactive with your eyes, with your mind, with your understanding. You got to be proactive that your spirit inside of you, you're protecting. Now, the value of worship songs and hymns, can that lift your spirit up when you're feeling discouraged and depressed? Can good Christian music lift you up and help you to be encouraged? Absolutely. You want to create that atmosphere around you. Satan has come to kill and maim and destroy. God wants us to have that spirit of us that will sustain us in infirmity. Infirmity means you have an affliction, a physical affliction, some type of infirmity, something that's bringing you down. But a cheerful heart is a good what? Medicine. And the spirit inside of you. Now, in the medical world, sometimes there's a thing called a placebo. It has actually no medical value. But some people take them and they feel much better. Now, why is that? It's really the attitude of their mind more than the effect of the pill. So the spirit of a man is important that you take and you sustain your spirit, that you feed yourself, because in those times of struggles, it's going to carry you through. But a wounded spirit, a broken spirit, who can bear? Now, we've been there as God's people. A wounded spirit, a broken spirit, who can bear? Those are deep times. But what you want to do when you get down in that wounded spirit time of life, your spirit within you. Now, somebody said this some years ago. He said to somebody, you know, I've heard thousands of sermons, and I can't remember what I've heard over the last 30 years. And the fellow said, well, he said, that may be true. He said, my wife has made me plenty of meals my whole life, and I'm standing here today because she fed me well these last 30 years. You may not remember each meal you ate, but I guarantee you it gave you some strength to get through the day. And when we feed ourselves spiritually, you have your devotions in the morning, you have your prayer time in the morning, you're walking with God throughout the day, your spirit within you is going to carry you when you have a wounded or broken spirit. Now, God says he heals the brokenhearted. God can be there for you to heal you, to help you through those times. So we want to be proactive with the spirit of a man that's within us, that we're on it, that we're feeding our spirit, the word of God, through worship and song, through prayer and meditation. We're on the word of God, and we're around good Christian company that can build us up, because that's going to sustain us. And when we have those times of a broken heart, God will see us through. Verse 15, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. Now, if you're proactive, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge. Men and women, God made them male and female. Do they always understand each other? Do they need each other? They do, but they don't always understand each other. A man brain thinks, it's like I told Mark just the other day. I said, my man brain is telling me this, and I try to explain how I see things. And her woman brain tells me how she sees things, and we work it out and work together. And we want to understand things, and we seek after knowledge. Because when you're proactive, you want to understand knowledge. What's the difference between knowledge and wisdom? Knowledge can be an understanding of the facts and how things work, the mechanics. Wisdom is how you put it all together. Wisdom is taking all of life knowledge and putting it together in a way that works. You know, we want to understand even our own selves. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge. The ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. Now, is there good Christian counseling available for people? Why do we have Christian counseling? Because Christians have problems and struggles. Now, for some people, they can have a background in their life. You can have a young man that's been totally rejected by his dad. You can have a young girl totally rejected by her family. That leaves a wound on the inside sometimes. That's a struggle. And sometimes people feel a certain way, they have certain struggles, and they don't understand why they think the way they do or act the way they do. But you can have a good Christian counselor, you can tell them your story, and they can say, well, yes, I see this and this and this. Do you know what the root of that is? It's because of this. And the person will say, I never saw that before. I didn't understand how that worked. But see, that is where the heart of the prudent, those that are proactive, they get knowledge. You got a problem? You can't figure it out? Well, go to somebody who does. You're proactive. You're on it. You're going to get the understanding. You got a marriage issue? Go to somebody that has knowledge to help you figure it out. The ear of the wise, you're going to be a wise person. You're proactive. You're going to seek after knowledge. You're going to want to resolve this. I can remember being in a counseling session one time, and the husband and wife said, he sits on one side of the room, and I sit on the other side of the room all night long, and we don't talk to each other. Now, is that peace? Or is that a false peace? Do you know what I'm saying? That's not really peace in the room, is it? They may not be talking to each other or fighting, but that's not resolving the issue. And you know what you do? If you're wise, a wise person seeks knowledge. You're proactive. All right, my wife and I, we can't work this out. I don't know where to go from here, but I want to go someplace where I can get some counsel, some understanding how to resolve this. See, that's being proactive. You're on it. You want to resolve it. You want to get beyond this problem that you don't understand. Because a proud person, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. If you're so proud that nobody can tell you anything, your pride is going to destroy your life and your home. But a humble person will say, I don't know how to resolve this. What can I do? And they'll go and seek after knowledge, and they'll seek the ear of the wise to resolve it. When you're proactive, see, these are relationships here. Verse 13 deals with relationships. Verse 14, internally. Verse 15, when I have a relationship and I can't resolve it, what do I do? Verse 15, I got a relationship. I want to move it forward. It says, when you're proactive, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. Okay, you got a relationship and you don't know how to work things out. And like, in other words, you're proactive here. If you're trying to move something forward, okay, give you an example. Now, I knew a pastor one time. This is what he'd do. Everybody that died in his city, he would send a letter to from his church saying, we're so sorry to hear this death in your family. We're praying for you. If there's anything we can ever do for you, let us know. Everybody that was in the obituary, they'd send that letter out. Is that a gift to people? They get that in the mail. Is that a gift? It's not monetary, but that's a gift. And one time he had a lady call him up and said, Pastor, I have nobody to guide us through this time in our life. We have no church. We have no church affiliation. Could you help us? And he said, sure, I can. And over the process of time, he led that family to the Lord. And in the process of time, that lady became a secretary at his church, all because of a gift of kindness and a gift of a letter. And what does that say here? A man's gift makes room for him. And as you bless others, it's going to open up doors for you and brings him before great men. As you bless others, you're proactive. You give to others, even when you don't expect anything back. That's what a gift is. You don't expect compensation. A man's gift makes room for him. See, these are nuggets to be proactive. You want to move forward in life and bless yourself and bless others? Use wisdom. Verse 17, he that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. It kind of ties into verse 13 there. Make sure you hear a matter first. You hear somebody's side of it, they seem like, oh, that's right. Then his neighbor comes and searches him, and yeah, make sure you hear it well. In relationships here, verse 17, verse 18, relationships again. The lot causes contentions to cease and parteth between the mighty. Okay, what if you got two situations and how do I resolve this here? How do I be proactive here between this seems right and this one seems right? Both these guys seem like they got a good point. And how do you bring things to resolution sometimes? Well, the lot was just draw straws here. If you get the short one, that's what you get. If I get the long one, that's what I get. And you just resolve. Sometimes that's the only way to resolve a matter. There's no good way sometimes, but in the process here, it just takes that contention and that brings it. The lot causes contentions to cease and parteth between the mighty. It brings a resolution to something that you might never be able to resolve any other way. Again, in relationship, verse 19, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. How many of you ever made your sibling mad? I mean, like, really mad at you? Okay? Yeah. It's hard to be reconciled. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like bars of a castle. You know, I heard this man say one time, there's two sisters, and a parent had passed away, and there's some inheritance. And the one sister felt she got gypped from the other sister, and they didn't talk for 25 years to each other over the inheritance. That's terrible. 25 years, and this man was a lawyer, and one of the sisters actually had come to him about this situation many years later, and they were still fighting over the situation. And he heard the sister say, 25, he said, you haven't talked to your sister in 25 years. He got the two together, and within an hour, he had them both talking to each other. They hadn't talked to each other for 25 years. And sometimes you've got to be so careful what you fight over. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. If it's over material things, guess what? You came into this world with nothing. You're going to leave with nothing. All those material things just go away. If you're at odds with your family member over something, just make sure that, you know, the gospel, that can be a contention. I got it. You know, some people are saved, some are lost, and they don't get along. I understand that. But if it's over material things, you know, maybe it's good just to set them aside, and the relationship is more valuable than the material things that so easily perish. How important to be proactive. Look at verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Somebody said it like this, choose your words carefully, because you may have to eat them someday. You know what I'm saying? Make sure you speak wisely, because death and life are in the power of the tongue. Again, relationship, being proactive. How do I live with my brother and sister? And how do I live with those in the Lord and the body of Christ? You know, all these things are important for us to consider. And I'd like to shift here just a little bit with being proactive. Now, we looked at a lot of proactive things here that we can do in the Christian life. Is America heading closer to God or away from God? Away from God. Jim Garlow shared these things. He's a pastor of Skyline Wesleyan Church in California. He has studied church history, and this is what he said about America. In 1607 to 1833, in America, the Christian worldview was the establishment. From 1833 to 1918, it was the predominant force in America. From 1918 to 1968, it was a subdominant force. In 1968 to 1988, a subculture. From 1988 to 1988, a counterculture. From 1998 to 2008, antithetical culture, and from 2008 to the present, a persecuted culture. Now, why did that happen? It's because some in the Christian community were not proactive. Now, we just looked at some of these things from Proverbs, mainly deal with relationships and those type of things. But if you're not proactive in the Christian life, you know what can happen so easily? Things can drift by you, and you're not on it. You're not on it. And our culture has gone the wrong way because we're not on it as believers. We want to be faithful in our faith for the Lord and faithful before Him in applying the truths of Scripture, whether in relationships to each other or relationship to God, that we don't end up being part of the problem. We want to be part of the solution here in America. Well, let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray here this morning that we as God's people don't let the rope just drift and drift and let more rope out God, may we be strong in our faith and be proactive in our relationships with one another and our relationship with you. And Father, help us, God, as people that, Lord, that we're on it, that these things that you teach us in Scripture, that we're all over it, God. We have a handle on it. We understand it. We apply it. That we just don't drift through life, God, letting things happen to us and letting things go by us. That we plan ahead, that we're proactive. We see where things are going. And Father, I pray, Lord, that we would not be caught unawares. And Father, even with our own home, Lord, as Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, and we make that decision. And I pray that we make that decision to be strong believers, be proactive, faithful, honoring your Son and honoring your word. So, Lord, help us toward this end. And, Lord, I pray that for our nation during these times, that we as God's people can be a light and a witness to the truth of the gospel. So help us toward this end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.